Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu. You're listening to CBS Sports Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all live, all the time.
On the Fan in New York and CBS Sports Radio, Evan Roberts until, what time am I on again till? Oh, until 2 Eastern time, 11 Pacific. We're broadcasting live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to your, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. We'll talk a little WrestleMania a little bit later on with Dave LaGreca of Busted Open. And like I mentioned, we'll get into the reported plans potentially of this baseball season in 2020. Ken Rosenthal was writing about that earlier today. But joining us right now, hell of an NFL player, hell of a college player with Green Bay Packers, with the Ohio State. Now it does a great job on SiriusXM, and that's A.J. Hawk. A.J., Evan Roberts here, quarantined in New York. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm just here in Columbus, Ohio, living much the same as everybody else is, it seems like, around the world right now.
Well, what are you doing, out of curiosity? Because I was talking earlier, I was watching SmackDown last night. I was trying to watch the NBA players play a video game. I watched a little How I Met Your Mother. How are you kind of getting through the days and nights these days?
Well, honestly, for me, a whole lot of my, like, daily coming and going hasn't changed. Like, I'm always kind of been a homebody and built a house in Ohio 7 years ago, and I do a lot of work on SiriusXM, and I do it all from my house. So I can still do all the work, and I've been doing a daily YouTube show with Pat McAfee, actually, for the last 2 weeks now, since we've kind of been quarantined at home. So that's keep me busy, and it's been fun to do. But I got 4 little kids as well, so my wife and I, you know, trying to keep them on the right path when it comes to their schoolwork and everything. So yeah, we're figuring out as we go, I think, just like most people are.
It's funny, I have 1 kid, and that's a lot. So I can only imagine chasing around and keeping 4 happy and, you know, busy, how difficult that is. Because with 1, I'm out of breath after about an hour and a half, AJ, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, hey, that's why I'm just hoping I can hear all the noises and crying and whining through the door right now. I'm in a little bedroom, but we don't know. Who knows? Maybe during this interview, I already apologize if someone busted here crying and need their shoe tied or something.
No, I understand it. A couple of things. Number one, you know, we were talking earlier about Washington and what they should do at the quarterback position, and it's probably nothing. They may try to invest another year in Dwayne Haskins. They obviously made the trade for Kyle Allen. I ask you about Haskins, obviously former Buckeye himself. What were your impressions of him in year one, and kind of what's your hope level going into year two on what Dwayne can be at the next level?
Well, I mean, I definitely still have a lot of hope for Haskins. I think a lot of people have kind of written him off for some reason. When I watched him play, I mean, I know when I started 1 year at Ohio State, just watching him throw and his poise and everything about it, like the ball comes out of his hand so nice, it just looks so good. It looks pretty. And he made so many good decisions while he was in college. And then, of course, he gets to Washington. A lot of the stuff that I was hearing come out of Washington, whether it's rumor or not, about him kind of not taking it seriously and not being like not doing all the right things off the field to try to earn that starting job and then kind of take hold once you're in there, that was a bit surprising for me to hear. So I think this year is going to be gigantic for Dwayne Haskins. You got a new head coach coming in there. You got to prove yourself all over again to him and to the the owner and everybody that brought you in there, like, hey, you need to try to prove them right, that you should be the guy. So I don't know if they're going to do anything in the draft at the quarterback position, but I would think you want to at least get to see what you have at Dwayne Haskins and see if he truly is your guy. Give him this season to figure that out.
You know, when I heard that the Bears are bringing in Nick Foles, it made a lot of sense. And now Ryan Pace is saying it's a competition. My brain tells me it's not a competition. Nick Foles is the guy that won a Super Bowl MVP. He's the guy that has made a lot of money and makes a lot of money. Do you look at it as a true quarterback competition, or do you think this is basically Nick Foles' job now?
No, I don't think it's a competition. I mean, how do you bring a guy in that has an $80 million contract and say it's going to be an open competition? I understand you're going to play who's the best and everything, but why would you have even signed Nick Foles if you think Mitchell Trubisky is going to start? I felt like the day that Nick Foles signed there that he's the starter. And I understand you got to say like every job is open and everything, but I think especially in this unique time we're living in with the whole COVID-19 situation where they're not going to have their OTAs and mini camps most likely, and who knows what training camp may look like. You're already going to possibly be on a condensed schedule. You don't want to have to worry about splitting up reps and think, okay, well, Mitchell's going to take the first two reps with the ones, and then Nick will take the next two, and then we'll rotate one and one back and forth. Like, trying to do that while you're also trying to kind of build the culture of the team is just difficult to do. So I always think, if possible, have a guy, have your starter, and then make sure that like they have clearly defined roles. But it doesn't sound like that's in the Bears' plans for this year.
What do you make of Nick Foles? Because right now, and I think his legacy will always be what he did in Philadelphia. He already has the statue outside for that postseason run. But the truth is, this is a guy that's never started more than 11 games in an NFL season, and his great success has always been with Philadelphia. You know, back in 2013 when he threw the 27 touchdown passes to the Super Bowl run a couple of years ago, his stay in St. Louis and obviously Jacksonville was never that successful. So what do you make of what Nick Foles will be in Chicago?
Well, I think with Nagy and some weapons he has around him, and obviously a defense that can play at a really high level, I think it's set up for Nick Foles to play well. What is his ceiling? I don't know exactly. I mean, I know the run he went on in Philly was a magical thing. I don't know if he can recreate that kind of magic, but I think he can definitely play at a super high level and be one of the, you know, in the top 15 starting quarterbacks in the NFL possibly. So I think it's a good spot for Nick Foles to go. And I have a lot of faith and a lot of confidence in Foles. I feel like just listening to guys that have played with him and guys that have been around him, like he seems to kind of carry himself the way that you want your starter, your starting quarterback, and he kind of exudes confidence, and it trickles down to everybody on the team. So I really like what he has, and I'm curious to see what it looks like with him at the helm in Chicago, because they've been so up and down with Trubisky in there, and their defense didn't play as well this year as the year before. So there's a lot of question marks there, but I think Nick Foles could be a very, very good starter for a long time.
We're talking to A.J. Hawk. When we start this season, assuming everything happens on time, we get an NFL season starting when it's scheduled to, will Cam Newton be the starting quarterback of any NFL team?
I would think he's got to be, doesn't he? I started hearing the thing, people saying that Cam Newton's going to be out there. He's going to be a backup somewhere. He's going to have to go there and humble himself and do all this. I just don't know if that's the case. Like, I understand this offseason's weird and you can't really get your hands on him and check him physically to make sure you feel 100% confident if you're a team bringing him in, but it's just crazy to me that the Chargers, if they don't sign him, like if they don't do anything in the draft and if they don't sign Cam Newton after that, I'd be a bit surprised. I just feel like he's a starter somewhere, and especially now, he's got to be so driven and have that chip on his shoulder that so many great quarterbacks seem to have, with Carolina moving on from him. So I don't see Cam Newton being a backup. I feel like he's going to get a chance to go start somewhere.
And what's funny is you look at some of the other free agent quarterbacks like Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton, and obviously I think all of us would take Cam Newton over the other two, but both of those guys could start in this league too, and it feels like we're headed towards a year in which they're both going to be backups, both Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston.
Yeah, and I could see Jameis. I can entertain the thought of him going somewhere and being a backup and kind of having to maybe earn a spot in, or unfortunately if a guy in front of him gets hurt, he goes in and has to prove himself and kind of resurrect his career possibly. I could see that, but with Andy, I don't know. I'm curious to see what the Patriots do. Like, didn't it seem like early on especially Andy Dalton fits perfectly with what the Patriots want to do? And I haven't heard anything about the Patriots bringing him in or trading for him, so I'm sure a lot will happen on the weekend of the draft, and then after the draft, I guess we'll really get some clarity on what's going to happen. But I'm still surprised that those three quarterbacks you mentioned aren't signed anywhere.
Every day that goes by, I just get the feeling Bill Belichick wants to prove, rightfully so, he's the smartest guy in NFL history, and he's going to win with Jarrett Stidham. It just kind of feels like it's moving in that direction.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I guess they have gotten to watch him in practice for a year with stuff that we haven't been able to see, so we don't really know what they have in Stidham, and I guess they must feel pretty confident. So, yeah, it's crazy to think that he could be the starting quarterback week one for the New England Patriots. Now, they obviously have a lot to deal with outside of just the quarterback position, but, yeah, maybe Bill wants to prove that, yeah, I can plug my guy in here and we can still just go about our business and they'll rattle off double-digit victories and hopefully make a run at the Super Bowl. I think that's far-fetched to say right now, but it's tough to ever count the Patriots out.
Oh, I never will. I'll tell you that right now. I will never count them out.
As long as Belichick and McDaniels are there, it's hard to really count them out of anything.
No doubt. We're talking to A.J. Hawk. How do you think your former coach Mike McCarthy works in Dallas? You think that's going to be the perfect marriage?
Yeah, I think he's going to be great in Dallas. I know Coach McCarthy used to have a place down in Austin. He likes the state of Texas. I think I know when he was interviewed for the job and people were asking me how he would get along with Jerry Jones. I thought, oh, this seems like a match made in heaven. These two guys, I'm sure, have a great time together, have so much fun talking ball and talking about personnel and what their plans are for the season. And I think he's put some great pieces in place in his coaching staff down there in Dallas, and he's brought some great players in as well. I think the Alden Smith signing, that's an interesting sign. I mean, why not take a flyer on the guy if he can kind of recreate some of the magic he had his first couple years in the league? So, and hopefully they figure it out with Dak and get him signed. But he's got weapons down there, and I think McCarthy is more motivated than ever. He had that year off out of the league to study everything and try to keep up on the newest trends. But I think McCarthy does great in Dallas. Honestly, I think it's going to be fun for him, too, being a part of that kind of circus atmosphere that Jerry creates and everything being so over the top. Like,
right.
That's so different than what Green Bay is. But I think it might be a little fun for McCarthy to kind of just be in the middle of it.
Yeah, I go back to a year and a half ago when Green Bay decided to move on from Mike McCarthy. And I get it. He'd been there for 13 years. You know, sometimes you got to make a change. As a Jet fan in New York, both me and my radio partner wanted McCarthy to coach the Jets. Very reasonable opinion to have. And then, of course, they hire the brilliant Adam Gase. I mean, just the utterly – and I'm saying that sarcastically. But it felt as if – this is the impression I got – that Mike McCarthy wasn't beloved around the league. And I didn't understand it because, to me, I look at a guy that's won a Super Bowl. I look at a guy that helped develop Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's not Aaron Rodgers carried Mike McCarthy. I mean, Mike McCarthy helped develop Aaron Rodgers and deserved to be at the top of the list of most teams looking for a head coach. And with all due respect, certainly ahead of the list that features Adam Gase. Why do you think teams like the Jets, teams like Cleveland, why do you think they passed on Mike McCarthy? What was it last year?
I don't know. I wonder, were the Jets making like demands on what they, like what, the, how much, like, I guess, power you had over personnel or whatever's going on. I don't know. I know McCarthy doesn't – he's not in there demanding to be the head coach and the GM and doing all of those things. But it was interesting when the Jets hired Adam Gase and McCarthy is out of a job for a year. I don't know. Like, people get caught up in sometimes, you know, Gase isn't super young like the rest of them, but, you know, he's been around Peyton Manning and their lineage and everything, that and guys that they've coached. People kind of get caught up in that sometimes. I don't know. Gase may end up working out in New York for the Jets, but I think for McCarthy, he would have been a great fit with the Jets as well. But I think when I didn't think of Dallas as being a spot for McCarthy when I was thinking about where he may go. But now that I'm kind of upset I didn't think about it earlier, just because it seems like such a perfect fit for him with Jerry Jones, with everything going on and the talent they have on that team. But yeah, it's always an interesting thing on why teams decide to hire certain guys. Well, you're in New York. What about the Giants? Do they like the hiring the Giants made with Joe Judge?
You know, it's funny you say that. I think there were a lot of Giant fans that wanted Mike McCarthy, wanted Ron Rivera before they got the jobs inside the division. And I think Joe Judge, at first when he was hired, there was a shock factor. But here's what Joe Judge was able to do. He was so good at his press conference. I mean, he said all the things I think Giant fans wanted to hear, that at least in the short term, because obviously you know this, AJ, he's got to go out and win games. He doesn't win games, he'll be run out of this town. But I think his press conference was so good that most Giant fans are happy about it. You don't hear a lot of Giant fans bitter about, you know, not hiring Rivera or McCarthy and instead hiring Joe Judge, because I think he came across really, really well in that opening press conference.
Yeah, I think you're right, and especially right now, without any live sports happening anywhere, that's all you have to really go on, Joe Judge, is how well he did handle himself in front of the media, says all the right things, and talks about how physical the team is going to be, yep, and going to be a tough team. So yeah, why not? You can definitely win over the crowd if you do that. But you said it, like, all that matters is if you win. Like, if you win, you can say and do whatever you want. If you lose, it doesn't matter what Bingo. You say or do. People don't care. You just have to win no matter what.
And he's in a tough spot because the Giants have been bad for a few years now, and he's in a division with some really good coaches. We mentioned Mike McCarthy in Dallas, Ron Rivera in Washington, Doug Peterson's that's won a Super Bowl. So he's the young gun with no experience, and look at the coaching experience he's sharing a division with this year.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, there's no easy gigs anywhere in the league. You know that. So when you get a head coaching job, you got to find a way. Even if you don't have all the pieces in place, you got to find a way to put something together just to try to make it a couple years, at least the first couple years, and slog through it to where you can build your own culture and bring in some of the talent that you want and hopefully kind of craft a team. But, man, a lot of places don't have the patience to hold on to guys long enough to even let them build their culture.
No, we know that. When you look at, and we're talking A.J. Hawk, when you look at this draft, a couple of quick things about it. Chase Young, how on the next level impactful will Chase Young be in your mind?
I mean, he is set up to be super impactful. And I know, being a defensive guy, I mean, who do you pay? Who's the most valuable? Your edge rushers, and if you have a lockdown corner. Like, those are guys that are, they're hard to come by, guys that can take over the game, really, or shut down a receiver. And Chase Young is a guy that you have to game plan around. And he's such a physical freak. I remember I went to one of the training camp practices Ohio State had a couple years ago, and I was with SiriusXM doing a little camp tour thing, and I saw Chase Young standing with the D lineman, and it was his first year, his freshman year. He just got to campus like a week before this, and I remember looking at him and saying, like, who is this guy? Like, oh, that's Chase Young, you know. I was like, oh, okay, I've heard about him as being a big recruit. And I just couldn't believe what he looked like physically. He reminded me of a young Julius Peppers. I played with Julius in Green Bay for a little bit, and Julius is such a physical freak and an amazing player. And Chase looked like a younger version of Julius almost in his pads. And then you watch him just wreck shop all year long, and how teams just had to try to put two or three guys on him to try to slow him down. And I think if he can have even half the impact he had in college in the NFL, he's going to be a huge addition. But he does kind of seem like a no-brainer, surefire pick for whoever grabs him.
Look, we know Burrow's going number one, and he had a historic year last year. But in the last, you know, forgetting last year, because I think the jury is still out on last year's quarterback class, but if you go back to the years before that, it seems the best quarterback out of a draft is not the first one taken. You know, you look at the 2016 class, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, you got teams like the Rams and Eagles trading up to get him. The best quarterback out of that draft right now is probably Dak Prescott, though Wentz can certainly give him a run for his money. Mahomes and Watson in 17 ahead of Mitchell Trubisky. And even the one in 18 right now, Josh Allen probably has the lead over Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold at this point. So when you look at this quarterback class, is Joe Burrow going to be the best quarterback 5 years from now, or do you see a guy like Herbert, maybe Tua if he's healthy, Jordan Love, actually down the road ultimately being the best quarterback to come out of this class?
I mean, that's such a tough question to try to answer. I mean, it's just so difficult to evaluate talent coming from the college level and to try to predict what their impact may be at the next level, especially the quarterback position. I think the toughest thing about evaluating is, yeah, Joe Burrow seems like absolute surefire number one pick, should be your franchise guy for 15 years. But when it comes to quarterback play, like, you have to be put in a good situation to where you have decent protection. Like, you don't have to have studs all around you, but you have to have decent protection. You have to have a couple people to throw to. And I think you need to have a good offensive play caller, whether that be your coordinator or your head coach, whoever's calling the plays. Like, he needs to set you up for success and play to your strengths. So it's tough at the quarterback position. It's hard to know that. A lot of times watching, like, as a casual fan, like, what what the system's like, if it helps the quarterback or hurts him, if they're trying to accentuate his strengths. And I hope the Bengals are able to do that. And I know Zach Taylor should have those capabilities. But, man, you just never know. Like, I would sit here now and say, yeah, Joe Burrow should be the best of all of them. But who knows? Like, if Tua's hip holds up and he goes to a good spot and has a solid defense and isn't asked to do too much to when he's young, yeah, maybe Tua's the guy, or maybe Herbert, and maybe someone that we're not even talking about right now. I mean, Love is great at Utah State, too. I think he has huge upside to him. So if someone got their hands on him and was able to kind of work their magic and set everything up around him, maybe he's the guy. So I guess that's what makes it so fun to watch, is because there's no like equation to show us who's going to be the best at the next level.
It's the most inexact thing in the world. I thought Jamarcus Russell was going to be a superstar at the next level, you know?
Yeah, the guy can throw the ball out of the stadium on one knee, right? He's got to be amazing. Like, yeah, you never know. It's so hard.
AJ, great talking to you. Stay safe. I appreciate you coming on.
Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. AJ Hawk, the former tremendous linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, obviously the Ohio State University, and now does a fine job on Sirius XM. We'll come back. We'll get back to your phone calls, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll also discuss MLB's potential plans if they can get a season in, as we are broadcasting live here on CBS Sports Radio and The Fan in New York City.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.